Hey everyone, welcome back to the Surreality Podcast, where we are, what do we do? Oh yeah, we recap celeb reality shows from the very beginning. That's what we do here. It is Monday after 420 weekend, and I hope you guys had a great weekend. I sure as hell did. If you partake, I hope you had a good time. Let's see, where do we begin here? So I did not have to work this Saturday, which was awesome. I have worked Saturdays pretty much my whole working career. So the past 15, 16 years I've worked. I have always worked like customer service jobs or, you know, when I started doing makeup and yada yada. I work Saturdays. Yeah. So this year 420 landed on a Saturday and I was invited to be on the 420 special brought to you by Amanda and Jody from We Love to Hate Everything. And we had John from Pod in the City, Nick from Good Vanilla Podcast and Best Supporting Podcast, Julie, who's on hiatus from Resting Bitch Face. My girl Justine was there watching with everyone, writing in the comments. But yeah, we, you know, talked about 420 things. We talked about The Room, which, you guys, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little disappointed we didn't talk about The Room more because I could talk about The Room like all day. I could do a whole episode just on my thoughts on The Room in general. Fucking love that movie. I revisited it on Friday night and it was even more wild than I remember. It's probably been about a decade, maybe a little less since I've seen it, but holy shit. That movie is the gift that keeps on giving. But yeah, we had a fucking blast. And if you want to rewatch it or just watch it for the first time, you can find it on the We Love to Hate Everything Patreon page. I think even at the lowest tier, which is like $3, you can join and watch it and smoke along with us. After that, my husband and I hosted a poker game for the first time in a long time. And I did not win. I was bummed. We had a good turnout of people, but I was the third out. I did not win any money, but I had a good time and smoked a lot of fucking weed. So much weed. Ate a lot of weed, drank a lot of weed, all of it. And then Sunday, just enjoyed the great outdoors. It's getting beautiful outside here in the Midwest. So yeah, just enjoyed that. Let's see. I watched The Room. My husband and I watched How High with Method Man and Redman, which I think is just my husband's favorite movie of all time. He knows every word. That's my favorite part about watching it, is just like listening and watching him quote every line from the movie. I decided to watch The Disaster Artist after watching The Room. I also watched a little bit of Empire Records last night while I should have been sleeping, which I know probably isn't technically a weed movie, but to me it is because I just remember I was baked out of my fucking mind the first time I saw it. And I loved it. And I still do. It's a little cheesy, don't get me wrong. And there's also some really good, like, early acting roles in that movie. Renee Zellweger's in it, as well as Liv Tyler, of course. Which, okay, Liv Tyler's acting choices in Empire Records are really fucking odd, I will say. She was only, like, 17, 18 maybe in that movie, so really young. But, like, her mouth acting is so strange. It was really distracting, I'm not gonna lie. And come to think of it, I don't think I've ever seen Liv Tyler in anything else. I've never seen Armageddon. I've never seen Jersey Girl. She's in Jersey Girl, right? I don't think I've ever seen her in anything. So I don't know if this is just how she acts all the time. Like, she's got her dad's mouth, so obviously huge lips, whatever. But the way she moves her mouth when she talks is so strange and seems like so much more effort than talking should be. Also, fun fact, the guy who plays Burko in the movie Coyote Shivers, he was married to Liv Tyler's mom during the filming of Empire Records. They were already married, so he would have been about 30, and Beb Buell, whatever the fuck her name is like 15 years his senior, and then you have Liv Tyler in the movie. And then after being married to her, he married Pauly Perrette, who a lot of people know from like NCIS or whatever the fuck. And then he married a girl named Mayra Diaz Gomez, who is now a wrestler. And she's significantly younger than him. They're not together anymore either. But I think all of them, maybe not Mayra, but all of his exes have come out and talked about what a huge piece of shit Coyote Shivers is. And he's done, like, nothing other than marry slightly famous women ever since this movie, really. But he really holds on to it. Like, this is his thing. Anyway, Empire Records is fun. I don't know if it's a movie that if you didn't watch it in your youth, it holds up as an adult. It's more of a nostalgia thing. And I saw someone called Empire Records the poor man's High Fidelity. And I thought that was pretty good. Also rewatched High Fidelity recently, and that movie kicks ass. My favorite part is when he reconnects with Catherine Zeta-Jones, who's like this very intellectual, bohemian, smart woman. And he meets her again for the first time in like 10, 15 years. And he's like, oh no, she's a huge fucking moron. She just never stops talking. Coming up this week, we got something fun going on. I am going with Zach, who was on my Surreal Life recap like a month or two ago now. We and some other friends of ours are going to a drag dinner, and fucking Janelle from The Traitors and obviously Big Brother is going to be there, and Bergie from The Traitors. So we're going to go fucking hang out with them. We're doing the VIP thing, so we'll get a picture, yada yada. It'll be my first, oh my God, my first drag show in I don't even know how long. My first drag dinner, for sure. And it's been a long time. I used to do drag-related things all the fucking time. I am such a fan of drag and an ally, obviously. So yeah, drag and reality TV, like, bring it on. But we are here to talk about The Surreal Life. And it is a fantastic episode of The Surreal Life. We are going to be watching, well, I'm going to be watching, you're going to be listening to a Battle of the Bands, but not just any Battle of the Bands, a Poison cover band Battle of the Bands. So buckle in, folks. And just really quickly, I just wanted to apologize for my audio quality lately. I am not sure what it is I'm doing, but I feel like my audio when I record solo is significantly better than when I record with someone else. I feel like I always sound like I'm screaming when I record with someone else. I think it's just me just being excited, being in a conversation with someone. If I'm like laughing and stuff, I think I just talk differently than when I'm sitting in a room by myself. So I'm gonna work on it, but I feel like my audio has been so annoying on the last few episodes when I've had someone else on. So okay, so this episode starts the morning after the talk show contest went on, which CC won, and he won a big fake contract, I guess, because the prize was supposed to be that the winner got to host the Unseen Moments special at the end of the season, and that never happened. So CC won jack shit. We see everyone waking up and like doing their morning stretches. Andrea wakes up from being face planted onto her pillow and she's still got a full face of makeup on from the night before. We see Maven taking off a shirt, but right as the shirt's off, the camera cuts away. So that's fucking rude. He also has camo pants on, which I'm a huge sucker for camo pants anyway. Tawny and Alexis are talking about how everything went down the evening before, and Tawny's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know, Florence can be pushy, like, I was just trying to tell people that, and Alexis is like, yeah, but I think people see Flo as Mrs. Brady, who can be compared to, like, Mother Teresa, and Tawny's like, yeah, well, I fucking know that now. Then we get today's copy of the Surreal Times. And it says, Hairbangers Ball, cast to get their wigs on in Battle of the Bands.
Wow, holy. The paper is here. Here we go, Hairbangers Ball, cast to get their wigs on, the cast of The Surreal Life has been challenged to a showdown. The big-time tribute band from the Midwest is on their way to Hollywood, and they want to take The Surreal Lifers down in Battle of the Tribute Bands.
We had to form a cover band, and we had to perform against another tribute band, so everybody was kind of into it.
The cast will pay homage to rock superstars Poison and sing a cover of their mega hit, Talk Dirty to Me.
I was in horror, because I'm a member of the band that did the song originally, so if I fail at that...
Okay, so the Surreal Lifers have to decide who's going to be what in the band. You know, the guitarist, the singer, the drummer, yada yada. And then they have to battle against a mystery guest cover band. So we know they're a cover band, but we don't know who they are yet. But they know they're going to have to perform Talk Dirty to Me by Poison. And CeCe's nervous because he's like, hey, I'm actually in that fucking band. And if I lose to a cover band, I'm actually in the band. And if I lose to a cover band of Poison, I'm never going to live that down. Apparently, whichever team wins $5,000. If the Surreal Lifers win, that $5,000 goes to charity. But if the cover band wins, that $5,000 just goes in their pocket. And I think this is utter bullshit. Like, this isn't Celebrity Apprentice. Let these people win their fucking money. Like, hey, VH1, how about you let the Surreal Lifers leave with some money in their pockets and also donate $5,000 to charity? I love the Surreal Life. I love most of the Surreal Life cast from all the seasons. However, I don't think people go on The Surreal Life if they're loaded, if you know what I'm saying. But that's not the only evil thing production does, no siree. CeCe also reads from the paper that production has just gone ahead and decided that Tawny is the assigned band manager for the evening because she hit it out of the park so fucking good in the music video challenge. If you do not recall, which I'm sure you do, Tawny had terrible time management skills, terrible budgeting skills. She spent half of the budget they were allotted for props, pats herself on the back the whole drive to set about how she only spent half of it, tells Steve, and he's like, why wouldn't you spend all of the budget money? Like, no one was like, Tawny, it doesn't matter. We don't keep what's left over. Steve doesn't keep what's left over. Like, that's what it's for. They gave that to us to use for the fucking music video. So naturally, production sees this and saw how she behaved last night on the interview segment. And they're like, oh, we gotta make her be band manager. And even Tawny herself, when CeCe announces this, her jaw is just dropped. She's like, what? One of the guys, I'm not sure who, I think it was Maven, goes, oh yeah, it's right up your alley. And it's like, Maven, no! Don't give this girl more confidence. That's what the cocaine is for.
The thing about Tawny is she is not good at decision making. So step aside and let the creative people take over. We're in for it.
So they head out to the living room and they see that there's a bunch of costumes laid out for them, props, instruments, and they get right to work. And this is where we hear Tawny ask Alexis if she can wear her wig today for the show. And Alexis is like, no, I have to put my foot down, Tawny. Like, you have hair, I don't. My hair is not a prop. My hair is my hair. And again, this episode is full of Franken sentences. And we don't see Tawny ask Alexis this. We hear it and we see the side of her face, but her hair is covering her face. But we do see Alexis reply. And also, Alexis is like, dude, there's plenty of wigs around. Like, there's wigs that production supplied for this that are also blonde and are the similar style of Alexis's hair. So, also, Tawny Katane has the best hair in the world. There has never been anyone in the history of anything who has needed a wig less than Tawny Katane. She's got long, thick, beautiful hair. It's that gorgeous red color. It's got natural volume. It looks good no matter how she does it. Make it make sense. Tawny does confirm in a talking head interview, whatever, that she did ask Alexis about the wig. And Alexis is also pissed because Tawny is assigning who's going to play which instrument and who's going to be backup singer, yada, yada. And Alexis wants to be lead singer for this. And Tawny assigns Steve as lead singer, Cece to drums, Maven's going to fake playing the bass, and then the girls are going to be backup singers. So Alexis is sitting on stage sulking and getting increasingly more pissed. And Tawny goes up to Alexis again and is like, "So is it okay if I wear your wig when we leave the house?" And Alexis is like, "Sure. If you make me lead singer, then you can wear the wig. How about that?" Tawny's like, "Oh, well, but Steve's being lead singer." And Alexis is like, "Well, you're not wearing my wig, honey." Alexis immediately stands up. She walks to the back of the setup, so back where the drums are, and proceeds to push the drums, knock them down, and then she goes over to part of the set and starts like jerking it around, being like, "Fuck this shit, this place sucks, I hate this, fuck y'all." She rips down part of the set and starts to walk off, and she J-Wow punches the wall where all of the Andy Warhol-esque cast photos are, storms out of the house through the backyard, like totally whipping the door open in the process, and the entire cast is just standing there still with their jaws open. None of them can believe what they just witnessed, and eventually Tawny just says, "Well, that's no way to get things done." And Cece's like, "Yeah, I agree." And this is tricky, okay? So I do believe Alexis was being a little bit of a brat here, but Alexis has totally been getting sidelined this whole season so far. As we know, she got no camera time during the Smash Mouth video, and then when they did the news, they made her producer, so she had no camera time. So I think she was finally like, "This is my chance. This is my moment." And once again, Tawny's like, "No, you're going to be backup dancer." And also be bugging Alexis about her wigs, which makes no sense because, like I already said, she doesn't need a wig. And they have wigs supplied for her to use. And Alexis's wigs are part of her, you know? So I think just everything's been boiling up for a while with Alexis, and finally she just let it all out, and we'll get into it into her update, but I'm pretty sure Alexis comes from a very angry household and was around a lot of abuse and alcoholism growing up. So, you know, people recreate the patterns they are brought up with. I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying. And by the way, I've mentioned it throughout the season thus far, but this is where production really starts giving Tawny that wacky edit. You know, like they were alluding to her cocaine use in the last episode. And now, in most of her talking heads, she seems very out of it. Her speech is kind of slurred. She's always looking around or like making weird facial expressions. So we are fully in wacky Tawny mode. And Alexis is certainly not the only one who's getting fed up with Tawny's behavior. Alexis is outside smoking a cigarette, and she tells us that any damage she did to the house was only equal to the emotional damage that was caused by Tawny to herself. Which, okay, but the set doesn't belong to Tawny, Alexis. Like, you should have gone to her luggage, and we could have gotten a fantastic scene of Alexis flushing Tawny's cocaine stash down the toilet. That would have been great. But Steve goes outside and comes up behind her, consoles her, and is like, "Hey, I'm really sorry that that happened to you. I want you to be lead singer. Please take my spot." And Alexis accepts, and it makes her very happy. But we're not done here, folks. Shit's just getting started. Tawny is still trying to figure out what's all needed for the show. So she's having a one-on-one with Steve. And again, she seems very out of it.
"What live musicians do we have to play an instrument?"
"We have CC."
"Uh-huh."
"There's no keyboards on the song, so we don't need a keyboard up there."
"Can we get one of your guys to play keyboards?"
"There is no keyboards on the song."
How long do we have before we have to get to the Key Club?
1:30, but we have more things than just band rehearsal. Take out wardrobe, full hair and makeup.
What you need to do right now is get Alexis on the vocals. Let her learn the lyrics.
I understand. Okay, you got it. Steve, do you want to sit back playing the drums?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, CeCe's playing the guitar?
Yep.
I will fake the bass.
Okay. Perfect.
Are you going to be able to get a keyboard player?
We don't need a keyboard player.
We don't need a keyboard player. There is no keyboards on this song.
Okay, well, don't talk to me like that was the 18th time you've told me.
I told you 3 times out there. I said, Tawny, there's no keyboards on this song. And you said to me, hey, are we going to play keyboards? I said, there's no keyboards on this song.
Tawny was trying to do her best, but I think she was also not of sound mind.
So throughout all that, Tawny keeps bringing up needing a keyboardist and having to have, like, one of Steve's friends or something come in to play it. And he's like, I keep telling you, we do not need a keyboardist. There's no keyboards in Talk Dirty to Me. And Tawny's calling people by the wrong name all of a sudden. She calls Steve CeCe at one point, I think. And she calls Alexis CeCe to her face at one point as well. And you can tell that the cast, like, they're doing everything they can to not lash out at Tawny. And Steve is getting increasingly more frustrated. They all meet out in the living room to have their first rehearsal. Everyone gets up on stage except Steve, who's standing off to the side with his arms crossed, just looking at this, like, fuck my life.
Steve, are you ready? Because we've got 45 minutes and they're going to come take the script.
To me.
It was also not of sound mind.
All right, we're all here. Let's take our position. Steve, are you ready? Because we've got 45 minutes and they're going to come take the script.
I understand. We don't even have the CD plugged in yet. So you guys are... See, Tawny, you're running the show?
I'm trying to run the show, but not people are listening.
Well, what are you standing there for with a microphone in your hand?
Because I thought you had everything under control.
You're in control of this thing. I'm just trying to help you out.
What? You don't have to do anything for me.
You know what? Yourself, okay? Okay? You know? Loony tunes. Stick this thing up your ass, this whole thing, because you're out of your tree. Okay? There you go. Finger you. You. Okay? You're standing up there on the microphone ready to sing. You're not even doing your job.
If I ask you to get on stage and help this out, that is my damn job.
Well, there you go. You do it. I ain't doing it.
We don't need you anyway.
Good.
So Steve has had enough. He's pointing out the fact how, again, Tawny's supposed to be project manager or whatever the fuck of this whole thing, yet she is on stage, front and center, ready to rehearse by singing. And he's been the one all afternoon being like, Tawny, this is not how we're gonna get this shit done. You're all over the place. They argue and he storms off to his bedroom. After he walks off, Tawny's like, ugh, he's just having a rock star temper tantrum. She keeps trying to say tantrum in both her interviews and while they're trying to rehearse, and she can't say it. And Andrea's like, what is with the fucking rage in this house today? Like, between Alexis and Steve, what is going on? And Tawny feels that she's gotten completely slighted here. She's like, he has no right to yell at me, call me mean names, flip me off. Like, that is just unexcusable. Alexis goes off to console Steve now, so the roles have reversed, and she finds him in the laundry room doing laundry, and she's like, hey, Steve, can you please come back out there? Because we're kind of fucked without you, man. And Steve's like, dude, I have had it. I cannot do this shit anymore. Like, you're awesome. CeCe's a gamer. Maven's great. But this shit just isn't for me. I can't do this. What the fuck is she doing leading this anyway? She was a rock star's girlfriend. She is off her rocker. And Andrea comes up too and is like, Steve, please get the fuck back out there. We have 40 minutes to get this done. We need you. And meanwhile, Tawny's out in the living room alone, standing on stage, and she eventually asks in the microphone, hey, anyone who's in the band, could you please, pretty please, with sugar on top, please come out here so we can rehearse? We only have 40 minutes. So they're rehearsing, but you can still definitely feel the tension in the air. And while this is going on, Florence walks in and is like, hello, everyone, how we doing? Steve, who has come out in the living room, but he's watching from afar with his arms crossed, like, hmm. He goes up to Florence and whispers to her, oh, you just missed it. I just went the fuck off on Tawny. She's like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, she's out of her fucking mind right now. And they rehearse the song, and Steve eventually, from the other side of the room, is like, Tawny, I apologize for yelling at you. And she's like, thank you, Steve. I knew you would come around. Goes up, they hug. I don't know. I think someone, probably Andrea or Maven, were like, Steve, there's no winning here. Come on. Like, she is not in the right mindset here. Just let it go. So they rehearse the song once. And I mean, it's Talk Dirty to me. You know, you got CeCe on guitar, who, it's his song, you know, like, you got him. They're half pretending this anyway. Like, Maven outright said, like, I will pretend to play bass. And it's Talk Dirty to me. It's like a karaoke song. They probably all know it anyway. But they go and do their hair and makeup, and everyone is looking real good. Everyone's in all black. Maven and Sherman are both wearing, like, fishnet muscle tees. And Maven is rocking a long, like, shaggy dark wig. Alexis struts her shit out, and she's in fishnets, a black thong, a black bra, and a blonde, like, mullety type wig. And as she struts out, CeCe's like, yep, that's my girl. Andrea's got her hair all teased up. She's in teeny little black booty shorts with a belt on, and she's wearing a little black, like, fake leather vest, and she looks so fucking hot. I mean, she says that she was purposefully fitting the role of, like, the 80s sex pot, you know, the video chick, and she did the damn thing. Yeah. And we see Tawny with a blonde wig on. I don't know if this is Alexis's wig, but it's a long blonde wig with bangs, and we don't really see Alexis with this style of hair, so I don't know. But she's also wearing, like, over-the-knee black boots and yada yada. They head to the Key Club on Sunset Strip, which is permanently closed, does not exist anymore, and I can't tell what it is now. It just looks like another fucking LA club. They go into the club, and they're greeted by the talent coordinator or something, and she asks what their band name is, and Alexis is like, we never came up with one. Fuck. And Florence walks up and is like, why don't you just call us the Winners? So lame. You could see Andrea in the background kind of like, ugh, no, no, that can't be our band name. No, literally anything else, please. And this is where they get to meet their competition. Out walks four dudes dressed up in your typical rock star gear. And this is Posen, a Poison cover band named Posen, which that's pretty good. It's perfectly stupid, perfectly gimmicky enough, and they shake hands with everyone. And this band, they look pretty good. The Brett, the guy pretending to be Brett, is rocking, like, that, you know, bedazzled cowboy hat, jeans, a bunch of scarves. His hair is not long enough, but this could be, like, a late 90s version of Brett, you know? Maybe Brett hadn't been getting those French hair extensions yet. We find out that Posen has played with Vince Neil, Rat, Warrant, and LA Guns. They were formed in 1999, and they have been touring nationally since 2003. Now, when I tried to look them up on Instagram and Google, I do not see Posen anywhere. However, there's a plethora of other Poison cover bands. We got Fallen Angel, Get Poisoned, Poison with a Z, Shot of Poison, Poison Us, as in poison with US at the end, Get Poisoned, and the list goes on. Actually, last year when I went to LA to visit Jess, there was totally a Poison cover band show going on at the Whiskey, I think, but tickets were super expensive and we already had something else going on that night. But yeah, not a shortage of Poison cover bands. Good to know. We get a quick shot of CeCe shaking all these band members' hands, and he's like, yeah, you could really tell that these guys don't take it as a joke, you know? They take it very seriously, so I'm getting nervous. They go backstage and wait for showtime. And all of a sudden, Tawny is like, oh, my energy level is just so down. And she takes a little nap. And everyone's pretty relieved to have a little break. Andrea is practicing to be on stage, and she's in this little outfit, like doing the splits and kicking her leg up in the air. And she says she can tell that Florence is watching her with, you know, that motherly look in her eye, like, oh gosh, like, why does this girl feel the need to show everything off to the whole world? And Andrea's like, whatever, like, let me live. Which Florence definitely comes off as judgy, but like, also, to be fair, you are in the room with other people, like, doing the splits and shit, and like, I'm gonna watch. Hell yeah. Andrea's hot as fuck. I'm gonna look at her. Also, the cameraman is completely zooming in on Andrea's ass, so. We hear the show start, and the cast is watching backstage on a big screen, and we hear the MC like, you guys ready to rock tonight? And the MC is none other than Bert Kreischer, the machine himself, you know, about 15 years before he really made it big as a stand-up comedian. But, God, I had posted this a while back, but so fucking wild to see Bert Kreischer on The Surreal Life. Bert introduces Poe's in, and they're really good. I gotta say, the guy who is Brett, I wonder if his name is Bert, you know? Like, I wonder if they just rearrange the letters. Anyway, he does sound a lot like Brett. I gotta give it to him. He really leans into the stage presence of Brett, you know, does the same mannerism. So I'll give him an A. They did a really good job. And CeCe's watching from backstage. He's got a chair pulled up right in front of the TV, and he's watching this band like, fuck, they're really good. And that's gotta be such a weird feeling, like watching someone being you. You know, like, I wonder if it's the same feeling drag queens have when someone impersonates them on Snatch Game. I just think that's got to be very strange, but really cool. I mean, that's like one of my life goals, to have a drag queen impersonate me. Are you kidding me?
It was stiff competition. The other band was really, really good. We have to win this because I'm going to look bad because I'm a member of the friggin' real band. So we have to win.
So Bert introduces Florence, who, she's leaning into it. She's got the teased up hair, whatever. And she introduces the Winners. Still a terrible band name. But they come out, get right into it. Everyone looks great. Alexis is being really interactive with the audience. Andrea is using every bit of that stage to show off that body yaddy yaddy. Sherman's even into it. He's singing along and pretending to play guitar. And he's got like a bandana on and his little muscle shirt and looks so cute. Steve doesn't really look like he's having a great time. He's playing drums and just being like grumble, grumble, grumble. And yeah, Tawny is right at the front of the stage doing her Tawny Katane thing. Yeah, I don't know. Like, obviously, they've mentioned how, you know, she always puts herself front and center when she's supposed to be the manager or whatever. But, like, I guess there's probably no rules that state she couldn't also perform. And also, this is what Tawny Katane is known for. She's known for being the video girl who, like, does flips and is sexy and whatever. So I guess when in Rome, do it. They do a great job. We get to see CeCe's iconic guitar solo from Talk Dirty to Me, and Alexis ends the song by doing the splits, like a jump split. It's good. Bert Kreischer comes back on stage, and he announces who the winner is. They do the thing where they measure the applause, kind of like they did with the last episode. Whoever gets the biggest cheer from the audience is the winner, and would you know it, the Surreal Lifers win. So they win $5,000 to charity. CeCe is very honored. He mentions again how proud he is that he performed sober, and they hand him the big $5,000 check. We don't know who it goes to. Which charity? I'm curious who it went to. But whatever, they go backstage and they're all congratulating each other. And Florence goes to leave for the evening. And as she's hugging Andrea goodbye, she whispers to her, don't drink too much tonight, okay? And Andrea is very visibly annoyed. She's like, I won't, thanks. They get back to the house, and most of the cast go to bed, besides Andrea and Maven, and they decide to have a few more drinks and go out to the jacuzzi. And this is where we get a speech from Andrea that we will be seeing again shortly, where she gives her true thoughts about Florence.
Florence will not get over that I get naked. And it's like, listen, bitch, why are you so hung up on the Playboy thing? I did 4 national commercials, Coke, McDonald's, Pepsi, and GM. You. And I'm just going to be labeled because I take my clothes off. You know what? I take my clothes off because I can. And you, Florence, take your clothes off 40 years ago. You're not like as good as I do. She is pro Alexis's transsexual transition, yet she talks down on me like I'm a piece of meat. She's trying to be hunky-dory. She's trying to be Florence Henderson. She's trying to be loved. But that bitch.
I think what hurt her the most is that she doesn't think that Florence sees her as anything but I take my clothes off for a living.
Okay, so I wish we would have seen more of this conversation for sure. I mean, this episode is only 20 minutes long, you know, when it aired 30 with commercials. However, they could have turned this into a two-parter. I think the whole rehearsal part of the episode where they had the numerous arguments could have been its own thing. And then the performance and this conversation could have been a whole other 30-minute episode. Because we don't even hear Maven's thoughts in the moment. We just see him listening to Andrea and just kind of raising his eyebrows every now and then. But I wish I could have seen how he reacted in the moment. Andrea is definitely buzzed up here. You can tell that she's drunk. As she's starting to say a sentence, you can sometimes see where she doesn't know where she's going with it. And there's that bit in there where she mentions how Florence supports Alexis's transition, but doesn't agree with Andrea taking her clothes off. I'm not sure if she really knew the point she was trying to make there. But yeah, that's where the episode ends, and we'll be seeing this clip again very shortly when they do the knockoff dirty laundry with Florence, yada yada. And Florence is like, oh, seeing that really disturbed me, Andrea. And it's like, fuck off. Wild fucking episode here. A lot to unpack. We are winding down to the end of season 6 here. And yeah, it's great. This is one of my favorite seasons, like I've said before. I'm going to do Alexis Arquette's update here before we wrap it up. So Alexis was born July 28th, 1969 in Los Angeles and is one of 5 children. So I think the pattern is Rosanna Arquette, Richmond Arquette, Patricia Arquette, Alexis, then David. And their dad was a really big actor named Louis Arquette, who I guess starred on The Waltons, and then he was in a bunch of other movies. I know him from Scream. He plays, like, the chief cop. And then Little Nicky, he plays the, not the priest, but there's that scene when they're all in the church and Little Nicky's brothers are pretending to be, like, the mayor and the priest or whatever, and I know him from that, but he's been in a bunch of shit, I just don't know it. And apparently at one point, Lewis bought this Christian summer camp and moved him, his wife, and all their kids there, and they were living in poverty. David Arquette was born while they were living on this commune type of deal, and they slept all in one room with no working bathroom, and the government would drop food off to their house. And Patricia had said in the Wall Street Journal that their mom was very physically abusive. Their dad had a drinking problem and smoked weed. David apparently stole weed from his dad when he was like 7 or something and was heavily drinking by the age of 12. And Patricia had said how it would be completely normal for holes to be punched in through the wall. It was just normal. Like, every day the kids didn't know what version of their parents they were going to get. And then eventually all the kids, except for Richmond, I think, made it back to Hollywood and started acting. Alexis's first acting gig was in this music video for this song. She's a Beauty by the band The Tubes. And it's like, she's a beauty, she's one in a million girls. Just YouTube it. You've heard it, I'm sure. But yeah, Alexis is 12 there, very young. And then her first big screen debut was in Down and Out in Beverly Hills, which I've never seen. She became known for playing a lot of androgynous roles, you know, George in The Wedding Singer, Damien in Bride of Chucky, lots of movies, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Pulp Fiction, she's all that. And I guess before she made the decision to transition, she would perform in drag, and her drag name was Ava Destruction, which is really interesting because there is another drag queen named Ava Destruction who is in Dragula. I think she was on like 3 or 4 years ago, and she's great. Love her. And I found an old Reddit thread from like 7 or 8 years ago of someone saying how Ava Destruction will probably never get on Drag Race, RuPaul's Drag Race, because RuPaul was friends with Alexis Arquette, and that was Alexis's drag name. And the name is a play on this song, Eve of Destruction, from the 60s. But that was like a conspiracy theory people had, but Eva Destruction went on to be in Dragula anyway. In 2007, she had the documentary Alexis Arquette, She's My Brother, released, and it discussed her experience transitioning, as well as her family members and their opinion on it. And I still haven't seen it. I think I've seen clips of it on YouTube. I looked it up earlier, and there's some shots of Alexis Arquette talking about transitioning and possibly leaving the country to get it done. And I'm guessing that's footage from the documentary. I don't know. Alexis was HIV positive, which they don't discuss on The Surreal Life, but she became HIV positive in 1987. So she was only 18 years old when she contracted HIV. And in her last year, she did start to get sick, and that is what ended up leading to her early death in September of 2016. And the cause of death was like inflammation of the heart leading to cardiac arrest from HIV. But yeah, I remember reading that she had passed and being really bummed about it. Apparently, she passed surrounded by her family members, and they were playing Starman by David Bowie as she died. So yeah, only 47 years old, super young. Hell of a career, hell of a life, definitely left her mark, paved the way for a lot of people to be comfortable with being open about being trans or their experience transitioning, or just being themselves, you know, being loud, being proud. I am an Alexis Arquette fan, for sure. I've wanted to get a George tattoo, like the scene of George crying from The Wedding Singer, but I just don't think that would translate very well as a tattoo. You know what I mean? I'll figure it out. But that does it, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. I've got the Rock of Love finale coming up, more Surreal Shore Loves the 2000s with Justine. If you guys have a minute or two, I would love to read a review from you. I appreciate each and every one of you for being here, and I'll see you soon. You can find me on Instagram at SurrealityPod, and you can always send hate mail to SurrealityPod@gmail.com.